Hey, man. Well, thank you so much for reading that. That was long, very long, but you all succeeded, so extra points for you guys. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank you so much because we know that as confusing as this passage might be, there is something that you want to say to us. So God, speak. Let us hear from you and let us hear your word and your message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we start, I know this passage is really, really confusing, but by the end, you'll understand what's going on. But let me start off with this. And this is something that you'll probably not talk that much in other churches, but in our church, we're different. So if you knew that tomorrow the world would end, what would you do right now? Okay? So turn to the person right next to you. Tomorrow is the end for all of us. We're all going to die, right? It's the end of the world. What would be the thing that you would do? Turn to the person right next to you, whoever you can find, make sure everybody's talking, and let's share. The reason why I'm asking this is because we all think about this question, right? Like, it really puts things into perspective sometimes. If the world is ending tomorrow, what am I gonna do? What are the things that I really wanna do? Well, this really is important for us to think about because death is happening to all of us. There's nobody in this world who's going to be able to go around death. We are all going to die. And Qohelet saw this too. And as you can tell, he is frustrated by the reality that everyone dies. But what's really important for us to understand is, what does he think of death, right? What does he think that death is? Well, for him, the word that he uses, and usually just the word that death is written in the Old Testament, is Sheol. Everybody say Sheol. Now, this word comes in the Old Testament numerous times, and you need to have a better understanding of what Sheol, which is death, translated as death, means, right? In Psalms 88:3, in Psalms 88, it refers to the grave or the adobe of the dead. So all dead people go to Sheol. Through much of the Old Testament period, it was believed that all went to one place, whether human or animal, whether righteous or wicked, you would all go to this Sheol, which be the place that you would all go. No one could avoid Sheol, which was thought to be in the lowest parts of the earth. And like this world, Sheol is devoid of love, hate, envy, work, thought, knowledge, and wisdom. These are written in Ecclesiastes. Descriptions are bleak. There is no light, right? In Job, in Psalms, it says there's no light in Sheol, no remembrance. So whatever memories you had, none of that is there. No praise of God. In fact, no sound at all, right? Inhabitants were weak, trembling shades who can never hope to escape from its gates. Sheol is like a ravenous beast that swallows the living without being sated. Some thought the dead were cut off from God, while others believed that God's presence reached even to Sheol. So it's important for us to understand that Sheol is actually this idea of hell that was completely different than the idea of hell that we currently have, and death, right? When we think about death, we as the 21st century people, we know the gospel. But before the gospel, death was just darkness. In death, there was nothing else. There was no theology that developed. This theology, if you look and you continue to read the Bible, Sheol develops and develops and develops. And towards the end of the Old Testament, God revealed that there will be a resurrection of the dead in Isaiah. And Sheol will devour no longer. Instead, God will swallow up death in Isaiah 25, verse 8, right? So this idea of death was something that wasn't the same. For us, it's different because we know Jesus Christ. But before that, in the Old Testament and for Qohelet, Sheol is the end. And he's frustrated about it because in that darkness, there's nothing else that comes. He has no idea what's going to happen after that. All he knows is that whether you're good, whether you're bad, whether you did a lot of good things or whether you did a lot of horrible things, you die and you end up in Sheol, right? And that's his theology. This is important to understand because Qohelet, this guy is a very, very analytical guy, right? He really sees the people and sees the world. And then he's starting to realize that even the righteous, whom he does acknowledge that the righteous are in the hands of God, he does acknowledge that part, but even them, they don't know when they're going to die. And even them, it doesn't necessarily mean that good things are always going to happen to them. Have you ever felt like this? Like, so I reflected on all this in verse 9 and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits them, right? All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. And so here you can see this frustration is like, why is it like this? Shouldn't it be that if you do good things, shouldn't it be that you should be rewarded? Like if you live a righteous life, shouldn't your life be a little bit different than other people, right? It's not fair. My kids love to say that. It's like, I grew up in a way that was completely different. Like my parents would say, life is not fair, right? But we all say it's not fair because there were people who were living really, really hard and trying to keep all the laws and trying to do everything that was said for them to do. But Qohelet was frustrated, and he actually sees that sometimes bad things happen to good people. Even the righteous people, even people who love God and follow Christ, even they die too. And it's not always that those people who have done so good and are so generous and love everyone, it's not always, the greatest thing doesn't always happen to them. Good people die. Good people go through darkness too. And he is being very realistic. And he observed the same exact reality that we observe. Qohelet concludes that everyone is the same. The end for everyone is the same. He's angry about this reality. And he says, this is the evil that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. So because of this idea that he did not know what's coming later, right? There was no idea of Jesus Christ. There was no idea of a savior. There was no idea of redemption. And all he had was Sheol, right? You have to put yourself in that perspective when you read the scripture. He really believed that the death was the end, and he did not have an answer for that. So the best thing that he could do is to give advice of what to do in this grim reality where there's no salvation and there's nothing else. Right? In the midst of all that, he says, it is better to what? To live. So if you go to verse 4, let's open up verse 4, 5, and 6. Anyone who is among the living has what? Has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward. And even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Right? Because he has no idea of what is coming, what we have, for him, death is just the end, and he's not sure what happens later. What he says is, it's better to live, right? For me, this is an emphasis in life. It made me feel a little bit weird at first, because as a Christian, I've heard so many times through Paul that actually he would rather be with God than to live. You hear it over and over again. I would rather die and be with God and be in his presence because I know how much he loves me than live in this world. But I will continue to be here because there's a work that I need to do. How do you understand both? Qohelet is saying, hey, life is valuable. You should live. And he is saying something different, Paul. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Can you all once again read it together with me? Well, you guys read it. I'll listen. One, two, three. You see, this is the new theology. Oh, sure, sorry. I should be listening. I wasn't listening. This is the new theology, right? Paul has an answer for Sheol, right? This is what's beautiful about Sheol, is that for Qohelet, he just doesn't know what's coming later because it's in the Old Testament. But for Paul, he has seen the truth that through Jesus Christ, there's what? There's life. That now death has nothing on us anymore. Because even if we die, if we believe in Christ, that he died in the cross for us, we will be forever in his love. And death has nothing on us. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in this truth are saved. Jesus pays the price for all the sin of the whole universe, so that we can live with this assurance and not be afraid of Sheol, of death, because death has nothing on us. Now, there's still a problem. How do we understand what Qohelet is saying? Well, for me, when I was reading this, I was trying to really look into both perspectives. And for Paul, this guy was persecuted, right? In Philippians, he was persecuted for preaching the gospel. But he actually ends up saying that it's a good thing, actually, that I'm being persecuted right now, because through my persecution, people are seeing that God really does exist. People are hearing about Jesus, and they're hearing the good news, so I will gladly go through all this pain and suffering, because through it, people will be able to hear the good news. It is more important for me to continue to preach this gospel than to live an easy life. So therefore, I will go out and continue to preach the word, the good word of Jesus, that he came and he died for all of our sins and we have life now. Remember, people were still stuck in Sheol. He's saying, no more Sheol. Through Christ, you have life. But look at this in this perspective. What he's saying is, he's saying somebody who was in persecution. He was being persecuted for his faith. He was going through suffering. People were spitting at him. Did you know that? They would say things wherever he would go. There's a, you, what the heck are you? Like they would spitting at him and pointing fingers. And what is this heretical thing about Jesus that you're saying? But he kept on preaching the gospel. And this is where this letter comes, right? It's coming from a place where he was being attacked. He was in a battle. He was really showing his commitment to this word because it was so important for everybody to hear. So he went to the extremes to say, what? It is better for me to die trying to preach these words and be with my father than being here in this life. Did Paul hate his life? Did he want it to die? Because it kind of sounds like it sometimes, right? No. He wasn't saying, I want to die. What he was saying is, I am in this place where I need to do this. So I will do this and I will show my commitment through this letter so that you can also know that Jesus Christ is the most important thing above everything, even my life. That's what he's saying, because that's the true hope and that's the only hope. So he's saying this with that perspective. He's not saying that he hates his own life. He's not saying that life isn't meaningful. He's not saying that you shouldn't love your own life in this earth. He's saying that there is a bigger purpose, and I will go and do that purpose. You know, in 9/11, 2,977 people died on that one day because of that accident. Out of the 2,977 people who died on that day in New York, 415 people who died that same day were first responders. 415 people were not killed by a plane. They were killed trying to save someone's life. 10,000 people today, first responders only, have been diagnosed with cancer because of that day. Because they weren't afraid to go and save people. All that dust that broke up from those buildings, 10,000 of those people have cancer today. If you ask those people, why did you do that? They won't say, because my life wasn't that good. No. They will say, because I had a bigger purpose. I had to go in and save someone's life. So therefore, it's not that they didn't value their life. They were willing to risk their life so that they could save a life. Paul was like those heroes too. Hence, he wrote with a strong conviction of not stopping because of the fear of death. And it's important for us to really remember this from Paul also, because what he's saying, he's not saying that you shouldn't value your life. He's saying life is valuable, yet there's something even more valuable, because I know that through Christ only, I have eternal life in him, right? That's the perspective where that is coming from. He's not saying that your life is invaluable. And sometimes as Christians, we believe, because of the New Testament mentality that we have, which is very important, is that we live our lives and it seems that I have to suffer for Christ all the time. It seems that I have to withstand all these problems in life because of Christ, and it's okay to live like that. Well, I don't think that's the point. See, Kohelet is saying something different. He's speaking in a time that it was before Christ, and he's saying life is valuable. So let's explore this a little bit more of what I think Kohelet is saying to us. The first thing that he says, he makes advices. He gives various advices. And he says, I have observed life, and it seems that everything leads to Sheol. Whether you're righteous or evil, you all end up the same. It seems that there is only darkness at the end. So let me give you an advice in the midst of all this. And the first thing is, life is valuable, but it's good that you are alive in this world. You know, one of the most dangerous things is when you go through darkness, the first thing that you think is life is meaningless. What Kohelet is actually saying here when he says, anyone among the living has hope. He's saying that you, just by the fact that you have breath in your life is already better than rather than the life that has no breath. Your life is meaningful. There are moments that people feel like life is meaningless, that there is no reason to live anymore, that there is no reason for me, that nobody's gonna notice me if I disappear one day. Like, those things are all lies. Those things that sometimes depression gives you, those things are lies that make a lot of people and a lot of loved ones that we know choose to end it. It is so sad when you don't see that that's not the truth. And I truly believe Qohelet is actually speaking against that. He's saying it is actually very valuable, just the fact that you are alive. And even though it might seem that your life is horrible compared to those around you, even then life is worth living. And not only worth living, he goes a step further and he talks about enjoyment, right? Now, this passage is very confusing and there's a lot of theological perspectives on this, okay? So we all agree at this point, Qohelet is saying, everybody's going to die. That's his point, right? You get it. Everybody's going to die. You are all going to die, whether you're good or bad. Now, there's two ways to view the next couple of verses, right? It says, go eat your food with gladness, this is verse 7, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in wine. Always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in your life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. So there is one way to see it is like, okay, you're all going to die, so do whatever you want to do. And some theologians actually look at this verses and they go, yeah, that's exactly what Qohelet is saying. Like, he is a very pessimistic guy, and he's saying, you're all going to die, just do whatever you want to do. Just eat, drink, whatever you want to drink. Put on the fancy white clothes and put oil in your head. Go, and the other part why there's a lot of theologians who believe this, because the word for woman here is the same word that is used for wife. NIV translates this, the part of wife, it says wife. Go and, what does it say? Love your wife. But also, it can also mean woman. And because it can mean woman, it can also mean, hey, go and have love with any woman. Or women's, it could also mean. Right? So there are some theologians who look at this and go like, yeah, just go and be crazy. Just be a party animal. He's just being very sarcastic, right? And whatever your hand finds to do, just do them with your might. Because when you're dead, you're not going to be able to do anything. So just YOLO. So there's this theology of YOLO out there that I was reading. I was like, what? And I was trying to make sense of it. I was like, this guy's smarter than that. You know, actually, I believe that that's not the case. What he is saying is a little bit different. He's a very realistic guy who actually sees what's happening and he sees the world. Okay, I do not know what's coming after Christ, but let me make and give you the best advice that I can give you. I believe that's the perspective that he's trying to give us today. And for me, the first thing is, it's definitely enjoy. What? What are the two things? In verse 7, go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. You know what sets apart a first class from a coach? Anybody has been in first class ever? First class? Have you been in a first class? Did you know that they give you actual silverware? It's like, what? I remember sitting down, I was like, what is this thing? It's not plastic. It's like, oh, it's actually like, I can actually like not bend. Like, I don't know. Maybe I have really strong hands, but I always bend my forks. It's like, what's so weird? I just trying to eat that meat. You know what sets apart? What's the biggest thing that makes the difference between first class and coach? Is that first class, you get actual like utensils. Yes, you get a bigger seat and all of that. But you know, they have to make a difference. And the difference comes from what? The food. You sit down, the first thing that they give you, you know what that is? And you know, champagne. Like, I've been actually like, secretly one day, you know. But I check YouTube videos of all these cool people, and they sit down and say, here's your champagne, your welcoming champagne. I was like, what? It's like, I don't even like champagne, but I would love to have a champagne in my hand. Say, and look at all those people, the rest of the people walk by to their coach seats. I'll be like, hi. But the difference is the food. They give you good food. They give you different food. The menu, so you can actually select your food. You have options. know, food is not just about survival, y'all. Food is about enjoyment. Sometimes, you know the difference? Sometimes, you know when you're really hungry? It's like you're just so hungry. You just start, you don't care what it is, actually. But you know that time that you really want to enjoy? You're at a vacation, and you have options, and you go around. Are you eating to just survive? No, you're eating to enjoy, right? And so this is exactly what I feel like God, like Qohelet is actually saying. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine. Enjoy this food that God has provided for you. Don't just eat it, enjoy it, because this is also a gift from God. What Qohelet is saying, I don't know what happens after death, but what I can tell you right now is that this food that you have in front of you and this drink that you have in front of you for you to drink, these come from God because God approved those things for you. So don't just eat it to survive. Enjoy it because it comes from God. Enjoy the food that you have given. Enjoy the drink. Don't drink too much, though. Enjoy the drink that God has given you. When we do communion, what do? We eat and drink. And so communion is not just about I'm alive in God. It's about enjoying being in this amazing freedom in Christ. So when you eat that food and you drink and you break that bread, you're enjoying Christ. The second advice that Qohelet gives us is always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. I do not like to wear white clothes. If anybody knows Pastor James does not wear white clothes. Because I'm very like self-aware, like and black makes you look skinnier. But in summer, black is so hot. You know why black is hot in summer? Because the color actually absorbs the heat. Lighter colors, because they're white, it actually reflects the heat, right? So when you go to a photo shoot, they don't have a black thing in front of you. They have a white thing because they want to get the sun and get you extra light in your face. So that's why it says wear white clothes. And white clothes can also mean in a celebratory day, they would wear white clothes, right? So always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Oil is very important in dry areas. I just come from Orlando, very wet, so much humidity all the time. I love California. Problem with California, so dry. So what do people always do? My wife is always putting, like her hands smell so good. They always smell like peach or something. Like she's always putting lotion. Why? Because it's important. If you don't do it, what happens is your skin starts to break. And so when I see this, to me it's saying, always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. To me it says, take care of yourself. I believe Qohelet is saying, I don't know what happens after death, but what I know is that God has given you this body for you to take care of. And I know there are times when this is going to, I'm about to trigger you all. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. This thing is so traumatic because people use this as a moral stick. Moral stick? Moral. Morality stick. And they say, hey, don't drink. Hey, don't do drugs. Hey, don't do this and that and that. They make it so they use it to control you, to say, hey, your body is holy, so you shouldn't put like unholy things in your body. Like you've heard this a lot. But I don't believe that's the point of that. It says, this body that you have is a place where the presence of God exists. Your body is this beautiful thing that God has given you as a gift. So I believe what Qohelet is actually saying is take care of it. Put on white clothes and protect yourself from the sun. Put that oil in your head and protect yourself from dry skin. And actually, it can lead you to a lot of pain if you don't take care of your skin. So take care of what you have, what God has given you. I think Qohelet is saying this more than anything else. You see, I bought my son an RC car when he turned 4 years old. It was a big RC car. It cost me $100. Because I told him, I was being like the big shot. I said, go get whatever you want to get. And he gets this $100. It was so wrong, though. It's like he was 4 years old, and it was a monster truck. And you know, monster trucks, for whatever reason, they have a lot of like skulls and stuff. And so he brings this, and I'm a pastor, by the way, and he brings this whole thing with a ghost and a skull, and it's like all scary, a four-year-old holding it, and he's like smiling at me. I said, okay, I'll buy it for you. And I buy it. He plays a couple of hours, just having fun, yeah. And then he loses the charger. It's like, where's the charger? It's like, I don't know. And so now there's a huge RC car in my house that does not move and takes counter space, and there's no way to charge it. And I was very angry. Why am I telling you this story? It's because as a father, I want to give something that my son would appreciate, and I want him to also take care of that gift. It was such a shame. I spent $100 to get him that thing. $100 is a day's of work. You work really hard one day, and you know that's. But my son really did not take care of that gift that I gave him. And it's so important for us to remember that just like that, God has given you all these bodies. Right? Take a moment to look at your beautiful bodies. This is given by God, created by God. And what I believe Qohelet is saying is care for this. For this is also a gift from God. The next part in verse 9, it says, enjoy life with who? With your wife. We're going to go with your wife, or we could also go with your lover, whom you love. All the days of this meaningless life. Once again, he's being very, you know, extra. All these days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. You know, he wants to really make sure that he's really, really annoyed at the fact that he doesn't know what's coming next. This is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun, right? I believe the next piece of advice is about love. More specifically, it's talking about a romantic love. This part of me, it's something that I really believe is really important for us, because as human beings, we all have this longing to be loved and love others, and especially love someone, right? And it's such an integral part of our life. There's a saying, and I don't know where I heard it, but there's a saying, and now it's my saying, I guess, because I don't know where I heard it, but it's, if you haven't done love, you haven't done life. When you love someone, you experience everything that there is to experience in love. You experience laughter, you experience joy, you experience these amazing moments, you experience pleasure, you experience all these beautiful things in life. And I can promise you, you'll experience the other side too. The darkness, the brokenness, the insecurities, the sinfulness. You experience such depth when you love someone. But I believe Qohelet is saying, you go and love, because this is also a gift from God that he gives you. I don't know what's happening later in life, but the advice that I can give you right now is that you go and love and enjoy the reward that all of us enjoy in our lives. When you love somebody, when you are in this deep relationship with somebody, in that moment, you are the happiest person alive. Right? When you experience love in a deep, deep way that is so loving and is willing to stick together even in hardship, it's a beautiful thing. And so Qohelet says, even that, enjoy it. And the last advice I think that Qohelet gives is to work as hard as you can. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you're going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. I truly do believe that Qohelet is encouraging us to work hard, because work is not only something that we do, but it does give us a lot of accomplishment, right? When we work and we work really, really hard at something, it gives us a purpose in life that is very, very different than the other stuff that you can do. That working does give you an accomplishment, but it also gives you the means to provide for your family, the means to take care of yourself and those that God has given you to take care for. So working is important. So you should work hard. Can you tell that to the person right next to you? Work hard. Why do I say this? Because it is important, and it's an important thing for us to also do. When we work hard and when we work really, really hard at certain things in life, there are rewards that we can get in this earth too. But also, it is a way and a mean for us to continue to sustain ourselves. I think this is what Qohelet is saying. And I'm going to wrap it up with a message that's going to bring everything together. And I'm going to show you a video. And this video, oh, well, let's take a look at it first. I'm showing you this because I've gained a habit, right? When we go to any beautiful place like Disney World, and we just are coming back from our family had a vacation. We went to Orlando, very humid, and we went to Disney World, right? And there is a habit that I do that I didn't do before I had children. When I didn't have children, I would just take a picture of myself, or usually you look at my phone, it's all my wife's face, you know. But when children came, I started taking pictures of their face. And whenever we go into a ride, for me, instead of like taking pictures of the scenery, some people do that, right? Some people look at they give you the first view and they want to say, oh, I want to look how scary it was. I don't care about that. All I care is that face of my child. So what I do is I take my phone, I hold it right there to his face, and he knows this. And through the beginning on the ride till the end, I'm always shooting him. Like, I'm always trying to get his reaction. Because I came for that. I didn't come for the ride, which I waited for 3 hours. I didn't come to just have fun and be like, yay, this is so... I don't care about that. All I care is about that face that my son makes. And that's why, since he was zero until now, all I do is whenever there's something fun to watch, to see, like, no matter whether there's Mickey Mouse in front of me or not, I don't care. All I'm doing is I'm putting the camera in his face because I want to see that smile. That's what I care about. That's why I went to Orlando 5 hours, spent so much money to see him right there. That was our trip 2 days ago. Just to see him smile. And I believe this is what Qohelet is actually saying to us. I believe God ultimately wants to see the faces of us smiling. I don't think God is saying, you should worship me, you should do all these things because I need to be worshipped. No, I think he's saying, I want you to enjoy this life that I've given to you as a gift. The food that you have to eat. The body that I have given you. It's a gift from me to you. This person that you have to love or this person that you will have to love. This relationship is a gift from me to you. This work that you have so that you can provide for your family, this is a gift from you for you to enjoy. Because I want to see you enjoying this gift that I've given you of life. And I wanted you to enjoy this gift of life so much so that I came to this world to die for your sins so that you can enjoy this forever with me. Kohelet did not know what's coming. He only saw Sheol. And even him, he was able to see that there is goodness in this world that God wants us to enjoy. Even though the good and the righteous people were also dying and they weren't getting their rewards, and he all knew, the only thing that he knew is Sheol. He said, even in the midst of all that, I tell you, enjoy the gifts that you currently have. Because your Father, because God wants to see that face. And he will do everything. And he did everything for us when he died on the cross. He wanted for you to have that face till the day you die. So now let's look back into Paul's theology. Because you have this face and you know this reality and truth, you can rejoice in every life situation. You can rejoice because even if you lose life, you'll be smiling in heaven. This week was hard for me because Damon was a great guy who set up the communion every morning. When we came back, he was the guy who showed up on the first Sunday to set up the chairs for y'all to seat. To set up the canopies for y'all to be away from the sun. He would be the first one to come and the last one to leave until everything was cleaned up. And it was really hard for me to hear the news while I was waiting 2 hours at the Disney World. It was really hard to hear that we have lost somebody. But I don't believe he's in Sheol. He's smiling with Christ. That's the hope that we have. And what I can tell you is, I know for a fact that he enjoyed life. I remember that one time when we were in the office and we were watching the Super Bowl. And you know, all the cool rappers came out. Man, he was like, yeah, I've never seen him like that. He was like, yeah, let's go. It was like, it's so cool, man. He was like, yeah. He was so happy and excited. He knew how to enjoy life. He knew how to enjoy life with others. And he knew that the life that he had was a gift from God. And he continued to serve and came to church and did all these things. But what the reason why this is so important for us to remember is that that's what God wants us to do. He has given you gifts. In front of you, you have food that he has provided for you. You have drinks that God has given you. You have a life. You have a body that God has given you. You have work that you can do to sustain yourself. And you have people that you can love. God is saying, I want you to enjoy these things because these are blessings that I give you. There are gifts that I give you. I believe that's what Kohelet is saying to us today. Amen? Let's take a moment to pray. Can I ask you all to, I know this is weird, but can we all hold hands for a moment? Lord, We believe that you have given us this community, this church, for a reason. That you have given us food, drink, clothes to wear, to care for ourselves, bodies. That you have given us people to love. That you have given us this community because you love us. That you gave us many gifts. Let us be able to know that they come from you. Let us not make those gifts the center of our lives, but put you in the center and say, yes, these are good gifts that were given to me for me to enjoy. But also, let us remember your love and how much you love us. As we mourn the death of our brother Damon, we also rejoice because we know that he is smiling in heaven with you. And we also rejoice because even amidst the loss, we hear your message of goodness, that you want us to rejoice and that you want us to continue to smile like a child, being thankful for what you have given us and the gifts that you have given us. We thank you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name.